Good morning, church. Welcome to worship on this beautiful Lord's Day. So happy to have all of you joining with us in worship today. Those of you who are here in person at 11, those of you who are online with us right now on Facebook Live and YouTube, and even later on Facebook and YouTube and on our podcast, along with those who are here at the 8:45 service this morning, all of you today are part of the TRUMC family. And we're so grateful that you have joined us in the worship of God today. My name is Jonathan Tompkins, one of the pastors here, and we welcome you today with grace and with hospitality. Our choir is going to begin our time of worship today, and this is a wonderful time for us to pause, to breathe, to come from whatever is happening out there in your life to be together in here, not only in the presence of God, but in the presence of God's people that we call TRUMC. And so as the choir sings about the presence of the Lord being in this place, let us use this time to prepare this place, our hearts, our minds, our entire selves for the presence of God. Please join me in the call to worship. Your part is in bold. You are the salt of the earth. May we season the world with faithfulness, O God. You are the light of the world. May your love shine through us, O Christ, our Savior. You are a city built on a hill. May your vigor make us bold witnesses, O Spirit of the only living God. Let us continue to join our voices together in praise. Our opening hymn of praise today, Shine, Jesus, Shine. This is an oldie, but it is a goodie. Let's sing together.
Oh,
In youth group in the 90s and the 2000s, and it shows. That was one of the UMYF youth group songs, and the clap, 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 that's like the National United Methodist Youth Clap. So, thank you for letting me relive my youth ministry days, and thank you for singing. Choir, great job, thank you. My friends, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, whose light is shining and who calls us to be the light as well. Please take a moment of hospitality. Greet those around you the way they wish to be greeted.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
No, I got it the day that I called you.
Thank you, friends. Please be seated. And welcome again, friends. Allow me to lift up some announcements for us. If you have a bulletin, you will find this on the second to last page there. And those of you here in person today, if you would please begin passing the attendance pads, you will find them on the middle aisle side of your pew. If you mark down that you're here and if you're joining us today for the first time, if you give us a way to contact you, we'll just contact you later this week with more information about us. Those of you worshiping with us online, we would love to know that you are there. You can go to our website and fill out our digital connect card. This allows us to connect with you, and you can also connect with us. You can submit a prayer request or submit a request to find out some more information about us as well. Also, you will see that there are a couple of QR codes in your bulletin on the upper right-hand side. That takes you to our email list sign up. We send out a church-wide email once a week on Wednesdays to keep you more connected during the week. And if you're not yet receiving that, you can use that QR code to sign up. Please continue to sign up online to help us lead worship on Sunday mornings. We've got slots available for the next few months through April at least, for acolytes and Bible bearers, for folks to give children's moments during the service, for scripture readers and greeters and ushers. Please continue to sign up. Remember, young people, our K-3 through 5th graders, Trumpets Children's Choir is rehearsing this evening from 5 to 5:30 in our chapel, and they are getting ready for their performance as part of our Music Sunday in a couple of Sundays. We're excited to hear them. Youth, 6th through 12th graders, just a reminder that by this Wednesday, you need to sign up with Pastor Christine if you are going to the Asbury Hills Hands and Feet Service Weekend. It's a wonderful weekend for our young people to help our United Methodist camp get ready for summer. If you'd like to be part of a growth group, they are meeting through the end of February. There's always room for more in our growth groups that meet during the week. Pastor Christine would love to speak with you more about that. And speaking of Pastor Christine, she is taking a well-deserved renewal week starting this coming Friday through the next Friday. And so we wish her some nice rest during that week as well. Just please make note that she will be on renewal. And make note that next Sunday is our Super Bowl of Caring Sunday. We tackle hunger by bringing soup and other non-perishable goods to supplement our hunger ministries here. We love to stack the food and see if we can get it higher than the pulpits. So that is your challenge for the big game next week. And then in two Sundays, please make note that we are having a special one service Sunday on February 19th. It's our music Sunday, and we're meeting at 10 a.m. that day. So both services come together, and our music ministries from both services will be providing the music for us that day. We're going to make a joyful noise that Sunday. Y'all, that's from Scripture. That's from Psalm 100. It's biblical to make a joyful noise. Are you going to be ready for that, church? Make note, two Sundays from today. We're excited. All right, on the opposite side of your bulletin, you'll see our list of weekly prayer concerns. Just a reminder that our prayer team is there for you. If you have a prayer request, you could submit that request to our prayer team at their email address, prayer@trmethodist.net. You can indicate if you would like that to just stay with the prayer team, or if you would like that to be listed here in our bulletin with our list of weekly prayer concerns. Just a personal prayer concern that I have, if you wouldn't mind, keeping my family in your prayers. Tomorrow, I'm headed to Columbia for a couple of days to be with my family. My stepfather, Don Hilliard, who many of you know, he's preached here a few times before. He's having some surgery tomorrow, and he'll be in the hospital for a night, and I'm just going to head there to kind of be with him and with my mom. My mom needs prayers as well, as she's his caretaker right now during the surgery. And, you know, I visit the hospital quite a bit as a pastor. This is going to be one of the first times I've visited as a son. And so I would just appreciate you keeping my family in your prayers these next couple of days. I thank you for that. And I want to lift up two wonderful joys when it comes to our prayer list. The first is one of our members, Dara Forrester. She comes to our early service. Quite a few years ago, she was diagnosed with a brain tumor and went through treatment. She's been in remission for several years, but there's always been a little piece of the tumor that has been left in her brain. This past week, she went in for scans, and there was no trace of the tumor left whatsoever. A complete surprise to her, but a wonderful thing. And so we lift up Dara and her husband Justin and their whole family in our prayers. And Mike Horvath, many of you know Mike from this service. Mike has been on the kidney and pancreas transplant list for at least a year, if not a couple of years. And last week they got the call, and Mike went and had a new kidney and a new pancreas, and he posted on Facebook, he said, "For the first time in my life, I am no longer a diabetic. And I no longer need dialysis now," that he's been going through in the past couple of years. So we are just so grateful that God works healing through medicine, through doctors, through surgeries. I still think organ transplantation is a miracle. I mean, it's amazing that we can do that. And so we're just so grateful for that. And Mike also wants us to pray for the family of the donor. It was a young person who died, and luckily they opted to be an organ donor, and Mike just wants us to lift up prayers for I don't know if it's a he or she, but for that person's family as well. But glory to God. We thank God for healing that comes in all different kinds of places, including organ transplantation. We are grateful. And we are grateful that you are here worshiping with us today. Grateful whenever somebody wants to officially join the membership of Travelers Rest United Methodist Church, I would like to invite Polly Scholin to please come and join Pastor Christine and me down front. And if you've been with us for the last few years, you might be thinking, wait a minute, isn't Polly already a member? And when she came to me and said, "I would like to join the church," I said, "Wait a minute, aren't you already a member?" Because she's been active with us for the last several years. But today, officially, she comes and joins our family. Polly, come stand here if you would, please. And so I have these questions for you, Polly. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you committed to following him, being part of his kingdom here on earth?
I do.
And will you support this church, Travelers Rest United Methodist, with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your faithful witness?
I will.
And you already do. And we thank you so much for doing that and continuing to do that. Because of you, we will be a stronger witness to the grace, mercy, and love of Jesus Christ in this part of his kingdom that he calls Travelers Rest. Pastor Christine.
Members of the household of God, I commend this person to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. If you will join me in the response. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. That in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Polly, your new old church family would like to bring you their greetings today. And so please, after the service, please come and stand with us out there. And I know that they're going to bring you their blessings. God bless you. Invite our children now to come down front and spend the next few moments today with Mr. Kyle.
Here, everybody come sit on the floor so I can see you. All right. How are y'all doing this morning?
Good.
All right, I got a little story for you. All right, it's a story of a church that was built way up in the mountains of Switzerland. Have any of y'all been to Switzerland before? No? I hear they have really good chocolate there. Should we go? Yeah? All right. Well, it's this beautiful church that was built with great care by the people that lived in this village nearby. There's one thing the church did not have. It did not have lights. It was built back before they had electricity. And so you just couldn't go into the church and turn on the light switch. But on Sunday, every Sunday evening, they would have church there. And the people that lived in the village would come and carry their lanterns into the church. And you know what happened? The church would light up because everybody was bringing their own lantern. Y'all know what a lantern is? Like a little thing you carry, maybe you've gone camping, it's got a little light inside. So they'd all bring their lanterns and hang them up inside the church. And these people were there, and the church would light up all brightly while they were inside singing and praying and worshiping. And then when church was over, they would take their lanterns out and carry their lanterns out with them. And the people that lived on like the other side of the valley, they could see like this light of this line of lights coming out of the church because the people were leaving church and taking their lights with them. Now, if there weren't very many people at church that day, then there wasn't very much light. So the more people that were there, the more light they would have. So this was a sign that God's people were doing well because they were coming into this church and having their light, and then they would take the light and go out, and they take the light out with them, okay? Now, did any of y'all bring a light to church today? Any of y'all bring a lantern with you? All right. Who knows what this is? What is this? Glow sticks, right? It's kind of like a light, right? So you snap it and all right. So we're going to everybody. I want every one of you to grit one of these glow sticks. Here, girls, y'all grab one. Okay. There we go. Everybody get one. And because you know what? I don't think y'all need to be carrying lanterns out of the church. Does that sound like a good idea?
Here.
All right. And here, Ellis, you want one? There you go. And, oops, sorry. Oh, there we go. Perfect. All right. And one for Roman. There you go. And one for Jude. Yeah. And one for... We've all got one. You want one? All right. So now you all have a light that you can carry out of the church with you, okay? So be like the villagers, and whenever you leave the church, take the light with you, because that's just a symbol of having God. You all have a little bit of God in your heart, and so when you leave the church, you want to make sure that you take God with you, okay? So let's say a little prayer together, okay? You repeat after me. Loving God, we thank you for Jesus, the one who lights our way. Help us follow him and be people who show your light to others. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, y'all make sure you carry your lights with you when you leave the church, okay? Thank you for coming down.
Thank you, Mr. Kyle. And in case you haven't grabbed your worship notes clipboards, go ahead and grab one of those. If you haven't already, take it back to your seat. And also a reminder that the prayer ground is there for you as well. Amelia is here to read scripture for us. And as she reads, in addition to being on the screen, it's on the back of your bulletin on your trail guide so we all can follow along.
Today's scripture is Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. Rather, they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. In the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. Amen.
We'll stay seated for our hymn of preparation. Let's sing together. I want to walk as a child of the light.
I want
Good morning. My name is Christine Matthews, the other of your pastors here, and it is a joy to me to be able to preach this morning. I've loved the music today. I was saying to the earlier service, we have a lot of light imagery in our music today. You know how hard it is to find songs about salt? It's a good bit more difficult, I'm just letting you know. There is one, but I didn't know it, so we didn't choose that one today. But I'm thankful for our music ministry for accompanying the word being proclaimed. Before any preacher ever gets up here, they proclaim the word through music along with us. Today, Amelia read a small part of the most famous sermon ever, and that's the Sermon on the Mount. Now, this sermon is given by Jesus, and in my favorite Bible, I have one of those Bibles that when Jesus speaks in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and some in Revelation, it's in red. Anyone else have a Bible like that? I like that. There's a term that people use today called red letter Christians, and I would call myself a red letter Christian, and that's basically saying that those red words, those words in red text are, I mean, the whole Bible is important, but those are really, really important, right? Because Jesus said them. Our whole passage today is in red in one of those Bibles because Jesus was talking, Jesus was preaching that whole passage. In February of 2019, several of us went to the Holy Land, and this is a picture from that trip of the Mount of Beatitudes, where it was thought the Sermon on the Mount was given. And that grassy hill that you see in the picture, can't you just picture Jesus giving the Sermon on the Mount on that grassy hill? The Sermon on the Mount shows us the heart of Jesus and gives us an ethic of how we are to live as his followers. And so Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 5, he uses two metaphors to teach his disciples, including us, who we are, but also who we are called to be. Now, we talked about this a little bit a month ago when I preached about Jesus's baptism. We talked about remember who you are, a child of God, beloved, with whom God is well pleased. Well, that's not the end of it. In today's passage, Jesus again talks to us about our identity. Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Those, again, are statements about who we are, and those metaphors give us a picture of how we ought to live and what it looks like to be followers of Jesus. We must become like salt and like light. So what does it mean to be the salt of the earth? Well, one of the things that I think about when I think about salt today is some slang that you may or may not be familiar with. If you have a teenager in your house, you might be a little more familiar with the term being salty, okay? If you're being salty in today's slang language, that means that you're angry or annoyed or irritated about something relatively minor. So it kind of means having an attitude about something, being salty about it, maybe a little sassy. I kind of use it interchangeably with sassy. So an example might be, he got salty with me because I ate the last piece of cake. Children, would you get salty if someone ate the last piece of cake? Yeah, maybe a little bit. So it does kind of have a negative connotation, that slang being salty. So that's probably not how Jesus was using it, right? We can kind of rule that one out. Of course, we use the term or the phrase salt of the earth people, right? We talk about, well, he was just a salt of the earth kind of person. And usually what we mean by that today is that someone is just good, ordinary folks, right? Nothing's wrong with that phrase, but again, I'm not sure if that was Jesus' point either, the way we use that term. So really, when I think of salt, the main thing I think about is that I shouldn't put too much of it on my food, right? I don't think I'm alone in this. I have high blood pressure, and so does my entire family of origin, okay? So we shouldn't put too much salt on our food, but a little bit is okay. Sometimes you just have to have a little bit of salt on some things. My things are potatoes. That's my favorite food from Ohio. Got to have a little salt on my mashed potatoes. Or tomatoes. I got to have a little salt on my tomatoes. Or it would just be too bland. But a little bit goes a long way, right? A little bit has a big influence. A little bit of salt adds flavor. And it enhances the food that it is on. In the same way, we are salt of the earth, means that we, as Jesus' followers, flavor the earth, those around us, with the presence of Christ in us. Now, this is not just about having a spunky personality. Like salt, we change the tone. We change the flavor of the conversation and of the world around us in a good way for Christ. So in Jesus' day, salt was very important. Sal or Saul, the Latin word for salt, is the root of the word salary. And the Roman soldiers in Bible days were actually paid in salt. And so it was very valuable, it was expensive, it was an important commodity. Salt didn't just flavor the food, it preserved it, especially the meat in Bible days. It kept it from rotting. Salt was also used for cleaning or purifying. And salt was used for healing purposes in Jesus' day, but still today, right? If you have a sore throat, what does your grandma tell you to do? Gargle with salt water, right? If you have sore feet, what do? You soak them with Epsom salt, right? Epsom salt and water, soak those sore feet. Like salt, we can be forces for healing of bodies, minds, souls, communities, systems for Christ. Another interesting fact about salt. In Bible times, because of the humidity in Israel-Palestine, the sodium chloride would evaporate, leaving behind a white substance that looked like salt, but had lost its flavor, just like Jesus was saying in Matthew this morning in our reading. It was literally good for nothing. I was listening to a sermon by a pastor in Maryland, a United Methodist pastor named Reverend Angela Wells, and she said it this way, and I couldn't say it any better, so this is a quote from her. She says, "There are so many forces that will try to evaporate our faithfulness. The first one is our culture's pull toward greed and power will seek to evaporate our call to God's justice. And then our country's environment of division will seek to evaporate God's peace. Our culture's bend towards self-centeredness will seek to evaporate our call to serve God and neighbor. Our society's propensity for hate and discrimination will seek to evaporate our call to God's all-encompassing love. And finally, our culture's worship of independence and unbridled nationalism will seek to evaporate our call to worship God alone." That's pretty powerful. You see the pattern there, how the forces of our world, our culture, our society, our culture ends up evaporating and taking away from what God wants us to give to the world. Let us not allow sin of the world to evaporate our saltiness. We are called to be salt of the earth and to be different from the world, kind of countercultural in these ways, to be in the world but not of the world, so that we make a difference like a small amount of salt makes a difference. So salt and light both exist to make life better for the world around us. The purpose of salt and light is not for itself, but for the bland and dark world around us. So we go on to the second metaphor. What does it mean to be the light of the world? You know, we take lights for granted. Kyle was talking about that church in Switzerland. We kind of take lights for granted in our world and in our society until the power goes out. And then we don't take it for granted anymore. We realize how important it is to have light. But when the lights go out, when the power goes out, people get lost and cold and scared. And some people die when the power goes out. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And here in Matthew today, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Now that kind of sounds like a contradiction. Which one is it? It's both. Both are true. Isn't that the way it works a lot of the time? Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light that has overcome the darkness, but as his followers, as his disciples, his light is in us. Isn't that an amazing thing? The divine light of God, of Christ, lives in us. So I have an analogy for you today. Analogies always help me, to understand things. And the analogy is that Jesus is like a power company. And so we are the light bulbs and the lamps and the heaters. And the power company doesn't lose power, right? The power, the light, originates there. That's where the generators are. Jesus, God, is like the power company, the source of the light. But the light doesn't do any good if it just stays at the power company. The power, the light, needs to be out in our homes and in our businesses and in our neighborhoods and in our communities and in all the nations so that it can be seen and used. As followers of Jesus, Jesus's light is in us. So we can take his light into dark places, places where people are lost or scared or hurting, and we can shine his light. We can reflect the light of Christ to a world that is in great darkness. Our light can reveal God's power and God's presence. With both salt and light, their purpose goes beyond themselves. No one sits down and eats a dinner of only salt, right? Because that would be gross, okay? So no one does that. The salt goes with something else. It enhances what you put it on. Likewise, the function of light is not to be seen, but to let things be seen as they are, the purpose of light is not to see the actual light, but to see the book that you're reading, or the food you're preparing, or the storm that's coming. If we are salt and light, then our purpose must be for something beyond self. Our purpose is to live visibly so that others can see the Jesus in us. Wow! We're always trying to find our purpose, right? I gave it to you. There it is. Our purpose is to live visibly so that others can see the Jesus in us. When we are like salt and light, then our faith is not just about what we believe or even what we feel about God, but about how we act in the world, and that shows the world how God is. The world will know what God is up to by the way we live our lives as disciples, as followers. So our calling, and it is a calling to be salt and to be light in the world, is not only to be a good example. I mean, that's important, but that's not what it's all about in our own right. But to help people to see who we are and then connect the dots between who we are and who is the God we worship. If the world, our neighbors, our community sees us doing things like caring for each other, being compassionate to the poor and those in need, helping people who are hurting, if they see our light shine like this, then they will connect the dots back to God and know who our God is. My friends, you are the salt of the earth. So be salty. Go into a bland world and be a little salty in a Jesus-y kind of way. Preserve, heal, and be the flavor of God's justice, peace, and love. You are the light of the world. So shine. Go into the darkness and let your light shine so that everyone can see who your God is and what your God is up to. Amen? Amen.
For our prayer time, I'm going to come and kneel here at the altar. You're invited to join me if you'd like, and you don't all have to run down right now. You can even do it while I'm praying. You can pray and walk at the same time. If you prefer to make your pew into a little prayer bench, please do that as well. But I invite us all, let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, what a day you have made for us. Another day you have made for us to receive your love and to share your love with others. We thank you, God. We thank you for Jesus Christ, your word made flesh, who tells us that we are salt and we are to bring out the God flavors of the world. And to tell us that we are light, bringing out the God colors of this world. Lord, how incredible that you tell us that, and that you call us to be that. Lord, you know that there are places in this world that threaten to evaporate our faithfulness. There are wars. between countries. There is anxiety and tension between countries. There's anxiety and tension here in our country. There are places that need your justice. There are places in our own lives where there are tensions and anxieties. There are places in our own hearts that need your light and your peace. And so we are here again today, Lord, not only thanking you for this day and thanking you for your light, but praying that your Spirit be with us to reignite the light in our hearts, to make us salty again in that Jesus-y kind of way. We thank you that you trust us, that you have faith in us, that we can represent you in the world. And we pray for courage to do so today. And we pray, Lord, that we live this prayer that your Son taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I want to thank you for your continued generosity in giving to the mission and ministry of Travelers Rest United Methodist Church through your offerings. Just a reminder, there are several ways that you can give. Our ushers will be coming around passing the plates. You can also give online through our e-giving portal on our website, or you can text to give at the number you find on your screen. Thank you for continuing to be a blessing as God has continually blessed us. continue joining our voices together as we affirm our faith in the God who loves us through the ancient words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. If you'd like to know more about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ as part of this congregation, please speak with me or with Pastor Christine after the service. We'd love to point you to some more discipleship opportunities here at TRUMC. We leave this place singing, "This Little Light of Mine." I know you know that one. Let's sing together.
Before our blessing and dismissal, before our sending forth, remember, if you are worshiping here for the first time or worshiping with us for the first time recently, then please visit our hospitality team. They will be at both exits today. They have a welcome bag for you and would just like to talk to you and get to know you. And now receive this blessing and benediction, my friends. You are the salt of the earth, so be salty. In that Jesus-y kind of way, you are the light of the world, so shine. Go into the darkness and let your light shine so everyone can see who your God is and what God's up to. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.